You're not going to believe this, but the title of my message today is The Image of God. And what have we been talking about all morning long? The image of, and I promise you, we've not confabulated over this. We have not collaborated. The image of God is what I want to talk about today. Now, everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, now, who looks like God? Oh, I see some hands dropping down. Guess what? We look like the image of God. Why? Because he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's how mankind was made, in the image of God. We are all made in the image of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, now who looks like God? Amen. All right, get your hands up because you were made in the image of God. You look just like God, okay? You may not look like big God, you may not look like a little G God, but you look like God, okay? All right, now, I recently, within the past 6 months or so, now this is going to sound strange to you in a preach, but it's I'll tell you, I promise you it's relevant. I got a new set of bathroom rugs. They're deep turquoise in color, and they're made out of the short pile plush, you know, that really soft stuff, and they change shape every time you brush across them. You can, you know, I've just been absolutely fascinated looking at the shapes that have been imprinted on those rugs. I've seen bird shapes, I've seen lamb's heads, I've seen flowers, as I set my cane down on the end of it, you know, and various faces. And depending on how that plush has been brushed with feet or cane or whatever, or even all images completely wiped away when the door closes over the top of one of them. And there's a blank canvas that appears there, waiting on the next touch or brush or footprint that will make another image. And we're just like that. Our personalities are like that plush fabric. When we are touched by any outside influence, we can become bearers of that image. Sometimes we look like confidence. Sometimes we look broken. Sometimes we look like conquerors, and sometimes we look like defeat itself. But sometimes we look like our Father God. And to him, we look like the spitting image of Jesus, and he smiles. Amen? The last time I spoke to y'all, I mentioned this verse in James 1:23. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and he goes away and he straightway forgets what manner of man he saw. And this is how it's rendered in the Phillips translation. Have done then with impurity and every other evil which touches the lives of others, and humbly accept the message that God has sown in your hearts and which can save your souls. Don't, I beg you, only hear the message, but put it into practice. Otherwise, you're merely deluding yourselves. The man who simply hears and does nothing about it is like a man catching the reflection of his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, it's true, but then he goes on with whatever he was doing without the slightest recollection of what sort of person he saw in the mirror. How many of us do that, especially as gals, when we get ready to go out, we primp and we prepare our faces and our hair and makeup and all that good stuff, and then just as soon as we walk out the door, oh, is that curl in place, or did I get my eye makeup all messed up, or what, is my lipstick okay? You know, or what color is my hair today? Is it red or is it purple? You know, what am I doing? We forget. We do forget, don't we? Now, guys, are you could be the same way too, aren't you? I see some blushing going on over here. But we go out without really remembering what we look like. But the man who looks into the perfect mirror of God's law, the law of liberty or freedom, and makes a habit of doing so, is not the man who sees and forgets. He puts that law into practice and he wins true happiness. Now, I'm not talking about the law, like don't do this or don't do that, but more like the law of gravity or motion or aerodynamics. This action results in this reaction. That's the law that we're talking about here, okay? Now you got that? This action results in this reaction. When we look in the mirror of God's word, then our reaction will be to take on the appearance or the image of God. That's what the word is there for. There's a phrase that we say that There is a phrase that says we are like people with three distinct personalities. We are who we think we are. That's one. We are who others think we are. That's two. And then we are who God thinks we are. And that's the true one. What does God think of you? Huh? He says he's made us in his image, so that's what he thinks of us. There's a little verse from Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, that says it this way. And I'm not going to really try to do a Scottish accent, but this is the way it's written. Oh, would some power the gift to gie us, to see ourselves as either see us. It would from many a blunder free us and foolish notions. If we could see ourselves as God sees us, we would not make such foolish notions. Amen? All right. And when to find out what God thinks about us, we need to stay in the Word. For that tells us exactly what God thinks of us. Hear this word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is from the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we've all heard that verse multiple times over the years, haven't we? Okay? And that version tells us that we study the word of God to be able to give the truest meaning of the word to other people, or rightly dividing the word. And therefore, we will win the approval of God. But there's also another connotation to that. When we study the Word of God, we show ourselves how much He already approves of us. And that is also a right rendering of that word. We don't just study the Word to make God approve of us. He already approved of us. He said, I'm making you in my own image. So that's approval. Amen? When we learn that, when we know that God approves of us, then we can boldly proclaim that word. But to do that, we have to see ourselves the way he does. We must see ourselves as reflecting the image of God to the world. Okay? So what are the key elements of God that we should be reflecting, as we are also made in those elements? What are some of the elements of God? Well, number one, God is self-existent and independent from his creation. He is the uncaused cause. Nobody caused God, but God causes everything. Amen? He exists eternally without dependence on anything outside of himself. And that can be found in Psalm 90, verse 2. When we understand this about God, we can also understand that our spirits are also eternal. He knew us before we were born. Amen? And our spirit will live on long after our earthly body turns to dust. That's how we're like God. We have an eternal spirit. The next one is immutability. God is unchanging in his essence, his character, and his promises. He remains constant and reliable. And that's in Malachi 3. When we connect to the Spirit of God, we can rely on his constancy, and then we can develop that within our own lives. When we know that that's an attribute of God, when we know that that's part of his Spirit within us, when we know that he is constant and he is never changing, we can become like that as well, because that's his Spirit living in us. Eternal. God exists beyond time. He has no beginning or end, and he transcends temporal limitations, and that's in Psalm 102. We, too, exist beyond time when we are reunited with him in our new heavenly life. And Julie's heard this one, too. I heard something recently that says God invented time to keep everything from happening all at once. Can you imagine what kind of chaos that would cause? Thousands of years of human history all occurring in about 5 seconds. Wham, bam, thank you, over and out. Wow. I'm glad we don't live that way, aren't you? I'm glad that God gives us the time to renew ourselves and renew our minds according to his word. Amen? God is also omnipresent. He is present everywhere at all times. not confined by spatial limitations. And that's in Psalm 139. No matter where we are, He is there also. He's here right now. He's in every church service where believers gather. He's in China right now. And He's in California right now. He's in Indiana right now. He's in Bangladesh right now. He's all over the world right now. He's on Venus. He's on Mars. He's on Jupiter. He's everywhere right now. So we know this. As we know this, our prayers are also not confined by spatial limitations. I can pray for my son in Illinois, and he can be healed. I can pray for my friends in Australia, and they can be healed. Amen. You can pray for your family in Africa, and they can be healed. Amen. You can pray for your friends in Japan, and they can be healed. Amen. God is not limited by spatial limitations. He's not confined to one territory. All territories belong to Him. Amen? Amen. All right. God is omniscient. He possesses complete and perfect knowledge, knowing all things, including the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And that's in Psalm 147. We don't have this one in completeness yet. But from time to time, the Holy Spirit within us will impart to us a word of knowledge, because we are made in His image, and His Spirit will do what He does. Oh, now, what do you think about that? His Spirit will do what God does. And if His Spirit lives in you, what does that mean? That means we're going to be able to do what God does, because His Spirit lives in us. And it's by His Spirit that all power is granted to us. Amen? Amen. All right. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful and can do anything that pleases Him, acting in accordance with His character. And that's in Revelations 19. And as we grow and mature in Christ, He will impart to us the power of His Spirit to enable us to do great things. Remember, Jesus told the disciples to wait till they be endued with power from on high. But that power will only be effective when wielded according to His character in His image. If just like the sons of thunder, they thought they had the Holy Spirit, and they wanted Jesus to just rain fire and brimstone down on the people that didn't want to do, have anything to do with Him. And He says, "Why, guys, come on. I'm going to nickname you the sons of thunder. That's not what I'm about." Then that's not what God's about. We pray for people to receive knowledge and information and love and mercy. We don't pray for God to rain down fire and brimstone on them, even though we would like to. We would like to say, "Lord, why don't you get your whip out and go after them again, okay?" But we don't do that. We pray, "Lord, love them. Love them into your service. Love them into your mercy. Love them into your grace." Holiness. God is completely pure and separate from sin. His holiness is a fundamental aspect of His nature. And that's in Isaiah 6. Oh, how I wish we had this aspect dwelling in us in perfection. But as it is part of the image of God, we can work with Him to perfect us in His holiness. He sees us that way already, for we are called to be holy as He is holy. And when God says something out, that happens. He says, "You be holy as I am holy." And He's speaking that to us. You become holy. He's not saying, "You have to do this on your own." He says, "You will be holy because I'm holy. And if I'm in you, then you're in me, then we have holiness together." Amen. Now, who's holy? All right, there we go. Praise God. You're getting it. Yay. Praise the Lord. Love. God is love, and His love is steadfast and unconditional, demonstrated through His grace and mercy. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2. Can we love like He does? Sometimes. But I want you to listen to this. This is the famous poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and it's normally thought of as a romantic kind of poetry, but I want you to hear it as though it was written to God and not to another human. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height that my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, the smiles, the tears of all my life. And God, if you so choose, I will but love you better after death. Can we love that way? Can we honestly say that we love God like that? Maybe not yet, but his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. His love has been shared in our spirits. And when we partake of that love, then we can pour that kind of love back out, both to him and to each other, and even to those out there. Love is always reciprocal. We love because he first loved us. Amen? God is just and fair. He's ensuring that righteousness prevails. That's in Deuteronomy 32. Now I want you to hear this from the Message translation. And I love this. Listen, heavens. Ooh, Moses is talking to the heavens. Now you be quiet up there, heavens, and listen to me. Now he says, I have something to tell you. I've got a mouthful of words. Who does that sound like? My teaching, let it fall like a gentle rain. My words arrive like morning dew, like a sprinkling rain on new grass, like spring showers on the garden. For it's God's name that I'm preaching. Respond to the greatness of our God. He's the rock. His works are perfect, and the way he works is fair and just. A God you can depend on, no exceptions. A straight arrow God. His messed up, mixed up children, his non-children, throw mud at him, but none of it sticks. How like that are we? But we are made in his image. And so this is an area that we can grow in. Amen? God is faithful. He is unwavering in loyal devotion to his purposes and plans. He is trustworthy in all of his ways. How faithful are we to keep our promises? How often do we fall short in either making a promise or then keeping it? But if we are made in his image, then we will begin to grow more and more faithful all the time. If we say we will pray for someone, then do it. If we say we will give something, then do it. Let us grow up and become like the image of God that he has set before us. Our God is persistent and long-suffering. God provides ample opportunities for people to commit to following him. Time after time after time, we'll see something that says, come on, and we'll either ignore it or we'll do it half-heartedly or we'll play a little with it and then forget it. But he keeps coming back to us. Come on, now let's do it this way. Come on, now let's not feel that way. Come on now. Come on now. God is always saying, come on now. Come on now. How many of you have heard that? Come on now, let's do this. Come on, come gather with me and we'll do this together. Amen? Amen? He's not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. And this one, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And that's Psalm 86. And we go on in this 2 Peter chapter, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, this is one of the most important conditions. We must know that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. We don't follow after the world's nonsense. Amen? Amen. If you're seeing things on TV or in the news or whatever that's pure and utter nonsense, you know that that's not God. And we don't follow that stuff. We follow God's word. We follow his image. We follow his heart. We follow after the word of God. And then the rest of that chapter goes on. And besides this, we give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And add to virtue knowledge. And add to knowledge temperance. And to temperance add patience. And to patience add godliness. And to godliness add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness add charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that if we have all of these things in us, that we will not be barren in our sowing of seed, our praying for evangel or evangelizing with other people. We will not be barren. We will not be unfulfilled in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and can't see out there. It's like when I take my glasses off, I can't see. Anyway, he can't see and he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And that's from 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen? Amen. All right, now see, these are things why we study the word. We find out what he wants us to do. We find out what he's provided for us. We find out what he's going to be doing in us. It's not just we want to sit down and read my Bible. Nah, 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 nah. Okay, all right, fine, thank you. And go away and forget what we read. We study these things so that we can be sure that we will never fail. Amen? Now, in our human form, we usually bear some kind of resemblance to our parents, right? When we're first born, however, we don't much look like our parents, except maybe our hair color and eye color, or maybe a cleft chin or a hooked nose or something like that. But as time goes on, then we do begin to start looking like them in other aspects as well. And when we're grown, we may have the same height, the same bone structure, the same body shape. Thank you, Lord. Now it's and it's like that in the spirit. When we're first born into the kingdom, we don't necessarily look exactly like God yet. But as we grow and we start developing the things that we inherited from the Spirit of the living God, as he said in the very beginning, we are being made into the image of God. It takes time sometimes. It takes growth. It takes persistence. It takes the energy that you have that you used to spend on something else to stay in the Word to find out what God really means to you and what you really mean to God. That's the most important part. What do you mean to God? So how and what needs to change in us so that we actually begin to resemble our Father? Now, this next example is something the Lord showed me many years ago about the creation of mankind. What did he make man out of? Dust, right. Then what did he do? He breathed into him. And that dust bunny became a living being. What happened when those first two disobeyed God's instructions? The spiritual side of them, God's life and breath in them, flickered out. And they became mere flesh. What happened to the trickster, the serpent? God cursed him and said that he would crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the earth. The same dust that God made mankind out of. Now watch. When we mess around with sin and we're acting out of our dust bunny personalities, we become snake food. Ouch. That's what God redeemed us from in the very beginning. And that's what Jesus redeems us from now. We are redeemed out of that dust bunny personality nonsense into the image of God, so that we're not snake food. We're not the thing that that Satan will feed on. Amen? Whew. We begin to exhibit God's traits and characteristics, that then we show the world our flesh and the devil, the image of God that we were created in at the very beginning. Now who looks like God? We all do. Even though we may sometimes act like dust bunnies, we still are made in the image of God. And as we grow and learn these things from the Word, then we can begin to shine like God shines. Amen? Now, we're not God. Not big G God, not little G gods. But we are the children of God, imbued with His Spirit, translated out of darkness into light, moved from the kingdoms of fleshly pursuits into the kingdom of holiness, purity, sacrifice, mercy, grace, peace, joy, and all the other attributes that are of our Father that are imprinted on us when we are born again. Amen? We're like those plush rugs in my bathroom. When God brushes up against us, we change shape. We begin to look like the image of God in all of those attributes. We exhibit holiness. We put on clothes of purity. We begin to see sacrifice as an act of love. We extend grace and mercy to all and sundry. We walk in peace, not in perpetual turmoil. We can access the wisdom of the ages. We begin to keep our promises. We become more and more faithful and more loving. We don't look at our reflection in the mirror and forget. We look and see the one made in the image of God. And as we look at each other, we see the same thing. Turn around and look at everybody. Look at people. Do you see the image of God there? Do you see the love there, the mercy there? Amen. Oh my goodness. Does God look like me? No, but I look like God sometimes. Amen. Some folks, though, are walking around like they have veils over their God image. And so we also become more and more pressed to share this new way of representing Jesus to the world. And then we can share this from Psalm 139. God says, I say, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and that I know full well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, so we are wonderful. You are wonderful. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're wonderful. Oh, now that's... You're wonderful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? 100%? Are you wonderfully made? Are you constantly reflecting the image of God to the world? Yeah, okay. Or are there areas where stuff needs to be scraped off, sharp edges smoothed out, prickly points that need to be ground down, hardened areas that need to be soaked in the Holy Spirit to be softened? Are there little hooks in your flesh that the enemy can grab onto and sling you into tailspins? Are you like those plush rugs that take the shape of anything that rubs up against you, whether it's godly or not? Is your mind covered by the helmet of salvation to guide and direct your thoughts away from the world's ways of thinking? Are there locked rooms in your heart where you've kept the Lord out? There's this passage in Scripture that sums it up for me. Romans 8. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, nor any of that other stuff. I am persuaded. Why am I persuaded about this? Because of the word of God at the very beginning. Let us make them in our image. Let's take time this week to really reflect on these things and get settled in our hearts and minds that we really are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. So let's walk out of here in confidence today, ready to face whatever comes like the children of God that He knows that we are. Amen.